Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the In the Truck podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dennis Brown. So the Civil War is kind of a contentious thing here in the United States, obviously. It's something that's always fascinated me because as you study it, the reality of the time, the politics, the people, the states, the concerns of people, and then you hear what they teach you in school, there's no similarity. They're not talking about the same event. You know, whether it's the... You know, in school, they just basically tell you that it was a war to free slaves, and there was the evil Southern slave owners and the wonderful Northern liberators. And that's the whole story, but it's not. And, you know, the draft riots in New York City, where people didn't want to fight the war, nobody cared, to the fact that, you know, there's just simple little things, like the fact that the last two states in the United States to have legal slavery were Delaware and Maryland, both Northern states. So that's kind of odd in a war against slavery. It just doesn't mesh. You know, you're at what the percentage of Southerners who actually own slaves, somewhere between 1 and 5% of Southerners ever own slaves. Kind of becomes clear that's not what it's about. But it was a strange time, and you start reading the stories of people, and it was a conflict that divided towns, cities, states, families. You know, West Virginia was created out of the conflict where the people in West Virginia voted essentially to secede from the state of Virginia in order to remain part of the Union. And that was allowed. You created a whole new state that way. And there's plenty of stories about border towns being sort of divided over the war. And their brothers that fought on both sides against each other. You know, it was a contentious time. And the efforts to simplify it into a chess game of red pieces and black pieces, I think, is a mistake. You know, the reality is that, you know, dealing with human beings, it's complicated and complex. The conflict itself is complicated and complex. Different people fought for different reasons. And I think overwhelmingly it wasn't slavery. I think it's a mistake to go ahead and paint it as a war about slavery. That was certainly a component of it, you know. And I don't think there's anyone alive today that argues that slavery was a good thing, or that it was bad to end it. I don't think that's the case at all. And you know, I guess it was ended by constitutional amendment shortly thereafter. Which is good. I'm from upstate New York. We have been devoutly abolitionist for a very long time. The famous John Brown, who attempted to go to Virginia and steal weapons from a federal armory and arm slaves for a rebellion because of his views of slavery as being immoral. He's from up here, about by me. We're not actually related, even though we have the same last name and we're from the same general area. But so in 1933... a newspaper interviewed a man named George Huber. He talked about his town. He said, when the war was declared, Lancaster seethed with the news. Just thought that was a cool quote, but you know, the town started debating its own place in the war, and there were two factions. One was led by a man named George Bruce, who was a Southern sympathizer and a devout Democrat. And the other side was led by a man named Thurston Carpenter, who Huber describes as an argumentative invalid and a red-hot Republican. I tend to think Huber probably sided with Mr. Bruce on the question of loyalties. And here's this town. It's actually not even a town, it's a hamlet, which is sort of a strange designation for a place, but it wasn't officially a town. It was a hamlet, sort of sits between two towns. And this man, Huber, was 12 years old in 1861 when this happened, but he claimed to remember it, which sounds about right. In a very small town at 12, you probably would remember who was around and who was involved and who said what, and you would have been privy to a lot of it. In any case, the town had voted for Lincoln. You know, majority of the town had voted for Lincoln in 1860. You know, he took office in 1861, and by the summer of 1861, there, you know, had the first Battle of Bull Run, the Civil War had really begun. Late that year, the argument between the Bruce faction and the Carpenter faction had reached a crescendo, and the town scheduled a vote. And in 1861, the vote was taken, a vote of 80 to 45, the town voted in favor of secession. It joined the Confederacy. Five of the young men of the town immediately went to go fight on behalf of the Confederacy and in Lee's army. Seven, interestingly, volunteered to go fight with the Union. So that's sort of an odd thing. But nevertheless, it's interesting that a year after the town voted for Lincoln, it voted to secede. And really, 80 to 45 is an overwhelming majority. You know, it wasn't a close vote. So what happened in this place called Town Line, this hamlet, by the way, it happens to be in upstate New York, very near the Canadian border. had nothing to do with slavery or the South even. And so there's no notes from the meeting about why they seceded, but they did. And so when the war ended, the conflict in the town had continued. And when the war ended and the Confederacy lost, a bunch of the people who led the pro-Southern faction fled to Canada. And apparently there were very real fears at the time that there was an army, a Confederate army being built in Canada, and it was planning to invade the United States. And they were right there on the border. So they had some serious concerns about it. But as far as their legal status, they never addressed their secession. And they sort of let it sort of fade off into history, except for a couple of really odd things. The Confederate flag continued to fly in Town Line, New York, after the war was over. They didn't take the flag down. And there were other strange things. The volunteer fire department wore a Confederate battle flag on their shoulder instead of an American flag. So there's a volunteer fire department. They wear uniforms. If you ever see volunteer firemen, they all have an American flag on their shoulder of their coat and their fire coat. And these guys didn't. They wore a Confederate flag. So you had this small town in upstate New York, you know, maybe a few hundred people, and they held on to this. Well, they held on to it a long time. Their status as a non-American or non-United States town is questionable because they did at one point accept a post office, and there was no an interruption of a census or taxation, anything of that nature. But in 1945, after World War II, when patriotic feelings were at a fervor, there was a man from Town Line who had, his name was Feely. He had returned from World War II as a soldier, and he'd heard about the secession. Like I said, it was in the newspaper in 1933, so it was public knowledge. In 1861, it was in the paper, and in 1933, again, it was in the paper. So it was public knowledge to people who were interested. It's sort of a funny thing. So this man had returned from the war, and he thought it wasn't right that he went and fought for America, but when he came home, he wasn't in America. He was in the last Confederate stronghold on the planet. And so he wrote a letter to President Truman, and I don't know how much of that was a joke. It's funny, in the troll culture of 2018, you wonder if it wasn't just a big gag. But at any rate, he wrote this letter to President Truman describing what had gone on and explaining that many people in the town still didn't want to rejoin the Union, which I think is, you know, do you believe that? Does that sound crazy, 1945? So Truman responded and wrote a letter back to him, and certainly responded as if he took it pretty seriously. I'm going to read you the letter President Truman wrote, partially because it's funny and partially because it's so well written it deserves to be read. There are few controversies that are not susceptible to a peacetime resolution if examined in an atmosphere of tranquility and calm rather than strife and turmoil. I would suggest the possibility of a roast veal as a vehicle of peace. Why don't you run down the fattest calf in Erie County, barbecue it, and serve it with fixins in the old blacksmith shop where the ruckus started. Who can tell? The dissidents might decide to resume citizenship. So anyway, that's it. That's in 1945. They held a vote in 1945, and it failed. The town voted to stay. So the people who stay as a Confederate town. So the people in the town who wanted it to rejoin the Union went out and started a publicity campaign trying to get people to change their minds. And they rescheduled the vote for January 25th, 1946. So the veal wasn't successful, although it was tried. So then they brought celebrities and they brought a lot of media into the town and re-held a vote. And this time, finally, it passed. In 1946, 84 years after they seceded from the Union, they passed a resolution to rejoin the United States of America. And to me, the funniest part of the whole thing, if it's not just crazy enough as it is, the funniest part of the whole thing is that the vote was 90-23. So the two things are fascinating. In the 84 years since, there are only about 12 more eligible people to vote than there were in 1861. And the other thing is 23 of them voted still after all this pressure and attention, the president and celebrities coming to celebrate the reuniting of town line to the United States of America. 23 of them still voted to remain a Confederate town. Anyway, so the vote was 90-23. The town line, New York, voted to rejoin the Union in 1946. And in 1946, the Confederate flag that flew over town line since 1861 was taken down. The last island of the Confederacy, about 30 miles from the Canadian border. And like I said, 80-45 was a wide margin. So 90-23 is a wide margin, but that's still about 30% of the town voted to stay in the Union. Well, I guess that's not right. It's like 18%, but don't do math in your head. So that was that. They took the flag down, but the fire department continued to wear the patches until 2011. The volunteer firemen voted in 2011 to remove the patch and replace it with the flag of the United States of America. So there you go. There's the story of the strongest holdout of the Civil War and the Confederacy. A little town in upstate New York who voted in 1946 to return to the Union. So there you go. That's a good story for you to know. Town line, New York, Erie County. Celebrities, the President of the United States, a whole bunch of people got involved. So listen, I hope you all have a great day. This is a short one. If all goes well, we'll have a huge guest tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Don't forget to share it with your friends and tell them how great it was and what a funny story you heard about Town Line, New York. And like I said, if all goes right, we'll have a huge guest tomorrow, and that'll be exciting. So listen, have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.